All right, welcome back to Let's Talk. It's Pastor Daniel Collins and Pastor Webster here again. And at the close of our last session, I read the scripture, Genesis 1, 28 through 30. I'm going to read it again. I'm going to ask Pastor Webster a few questions about it. Genesis 1, 28 through 30 says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so." Now, Pastor Webster, from this, I understand that the dogs back then in Genesis 1 ate herbs, grass, and vegetation, and so forth. Do you understand something different from that, or are you on the same line?
He said, "And was not the beast of the field, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so." So if the scripture says so, then it got to be so. That's what he gave it for. So everything that moved upon the earth, there is some tree, some plant, some grass, some vegetation, something out there that he has provided for everything that moveth upon the earth. And I must say that I've been around for a little while, and what we are losing today is that the younger folks have very little knowledge of the stuff over there that's good. I know when I was growing up, my grandmother and they would know what's good for headache, what's good for fever.
You're talking about bush and vegetation, right?
Yes, what's good to make you sleep if you're nervous. Just today, I went up on the hill and I saw a soursop tree and I was working some of it. And I asked the gentleman, I say, "You don't know what this is good for." And another gentleman older than him said, "This is good for nerves." He said, "If you're nervous, this is good." I say, "How about sleeping?" He said, "Oh, yes, if you can't sleep, this is good for sleeping also." I know you're getting there. So I believe that the remedies are out there, Brother Danny. I believe if we would use those things, we don't have the knowledge of it, but if we would know, I believe the remedy is out there for cancer. I believe everything is out there. Two bushes may have to mix together. We don't know which two. And boy, I could only imagine how it was in the days of Adam when he had all this knowledge, you know, and things were so much different. But you are correct. The scripture said that. And if the scripture says that, you know me, I accept it and believe it, and we'll try my best to practice it also.
Yes, yes, yes. That seems to be the tough part nowadays, because it's not typical for us nowadays to live a vegetarian lifestyle or to focus a lot on herbs and fruits and so forth. But if God created this body, and we know he created these bodies, and this is what he instructed those who lived for us to eat by, there must be value in it. We're going to hop a few chapters further to Genesis chapter 9, and I'll read for you verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Genesis 9 now is right after the flood. Noah and his family, they're leaving the ark, they're leaving that where they were, and they headed out to start life anew. Verse 1 in Genesis chapter 9 says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons." It's like Genesis 1, which says, "And God blessed them." So this them now, Noah and his sons, seem to be taking the place of Adam and his wife. "And said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." It's as if we heard this before. We're hearing it again. It's a start over, it seems. Verse 2, Genesis 9 says, "And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered." So this sounds like they have dominion over every living thing on the earth, over all the animals. Verse 3 says, "Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you," meaning it shall be food for you. It says, "Even as the green herb have I given you all things. So this, from this I understand, the green herb was given as food from before. And now God is saying to Noah and his sons, I'm also giving you every moving thing that liveth on the earth for food. Verse 4 says, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. So this stipulation here is, if you're going to eat animals, you shall not eat the animals with their life in it, which is the blood. Now, remember I asked Pastor Webson concerning this graph that we looked at, concerning this printout that we looked at. After the flood, the years, the average lifespan, seem to shrink and shrink greatly. Not only the lifespan, but the year they had their first son as well. For example, let's go back to the chart. It shows the first name, the son of Shem, Pakshan. He was 35 years old when he had his first son. Adam, in contrast, was 130 years old when he had Seth. Shelah, 30 years old when he had his first son. And he lived 433 years and so forth. So it shows here that the lifespan of those patriarchs born after the flood, the entire lifespan was shorter, but also the age they were when they had their first child was a lot less as well. Now, my question to you, Pastor Webster, and to everyone listening, could it be that since God allowed men to eat flesh, allowed men to eat animals, that this contributed to the shortening of the lifespan? What do you think?
According to scripture, it sure seems so. God is sovereign, and God operates according to his plan. And man was living that life, long life before the flood. Things began to change. Man became so disobedient. And God gave us the permission, gave man the permission to go ahead and add meat to his diet. Make sure that things that are strangled with the blood in it, you got to be careful eating that. Don't eat that. And it sure seems not only that the lifespan was shorter, it sure seems, Pastor Collins, that they got children very young. They were much younger when they got children, because here is Noah's grandson at 35 years old, and he got a child.
Yep.
Noah was 500 years old before he got his father.
Yep.
The words, you can see the difference here in this. And Shelah was 30, as you said. It was 30. Nahor was 29 years old. And we can see this, the changes here in this. And again, all I could say about this is the sovereignty of God in regards to his plan. He knows what to put in place, how to put it in place, when to put it in place to accomplish the purpose in which that he has intended.
I agree with you completely. So we're gonna stop here because the time is up. But for the next episode, we're going to jump into a book. And when we spoke the last time, a few times ago, concerning health and Christians and so forth, a book came to my mind for homework to go and research, which I heard before. I listened to the book before, and then I said, let me dig into this book again. The title of the book is Why Christians Get Sick. And we're going to seek to find some answers to that question in the next episode. So folks, I invite you to don't be a stranger. Tune back in. Make sure you're there to listen to the next episode. And in the meantime, listen to this over and over. Let us know if you're doing a good job, if you enjoy what we're doing. If you don't enjoy what we're doing and you think we could do better, let us know as well. And make sure you share it with those you think could have value from what we're sharing here as well. Could you wrap up in a word of prayer, Pastor Webster, while we close this episode?
Our Father, we are so thankful to you, dear God, that so many questions that we would have, we can go back to your word and find the answers. Lord, we pray that you will help us to be obedient to your word. Oh God, we pray, dear God, that you will help us, dear God. For many times we get sick and then we call out to you and ask you to heal us. But Lord, help us to be careful and do whatever we can to help to prevent some of these things that we bring upon ourselves. Be with your people, dear God, Use us to your honor. Use us to your glory. Bless these programs that we are sharing with others. And Lord, for the one that don't know you, help them to understand that they can have everlasting life. You have provided that. It's a gift if they would only receive it. You said if they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart, that you have raised Jesus Christ from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So God, may we be obedient to follow your will for us. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Save the lost. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for saving us who are saved and for those who will be saved. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.